CliffCentral.com.
All righty. CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. It's the last day of November. And yeah, that means that for many of us, it's time to start thinking about Christmas and the holidays and everything else. We were talking this morning about putting up holiday decorations. And Sia and Leanne both have plans to do that as well. If you have, tell us what your rules are. I'm always curious to find out how other people do these things, whether you do them at the beginning of the month of December, whether you do it somewhere in the middle. And you can tell us what your plans are for December. We're also going to take your thoughts and your calls and everything that's on your mind this morning on 0797482090. Also speak to someone called Ruth Mtembu, who is a campaign manager for Wild Oceans. And this is basically for all the animal lovers and anyone who has a heart this morning. We're going to speak to Ruth about what she's involved in there. And don't forget, if you've got a small business and you would like someone to help you to just get your word out there about what it is you do, to explain to everybody what your business is all about, you can do that by sending us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com, or you can just get us on social media and use the hashtag somebody's business, right? Two words, but you put them together, somebody's business. That's the hashtag. We would love to be able to help you. And that's with Ozo, who've come on board at the end of the year when we know things have been tough this year for many small businesses. OZOW, they're a brilliant payments platform, and they want to help small businesses in South Africa, because the better you do, the better we all do. That's the way it works in business. And if we can help you, we would love to be able to do that. Right, let's get back to it.
I went driving yesterday, actually, and was both surprised.
You went driving the what? I went driving
yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I went driving yesterday, and particularly I was in Rosebank, which I hadn't been in for months, literally, and was both surprised and saddened at the number of to let signs that are on these office buildings. But because I hadn't been in Rosebank in months, I was also so shocked by the development. Like, there are new buildings that are complete. I'm thinking, wow, this is like a whole new city that I haven't seen yet.
I always see those to let signs, and I always, like, the childish part of me wants to go and spray paint. Yeah, wants to go and spray paint an I in between the O and the L. Toilet.
I thought that that's what I thought, that people were making widespread mistakes when I was a little child, and they were misspelling toilet all over.
You thought there were just toilets with huge signs outside of them.
Yes. Mm. And it frustrated me so much that so many people were making these mistakes. God. But yeah, Rosebank has been one of the zones of development.
I see what you did there.
In Joburg.
Rosebank, the zones.
That was completely unintentional. But well done, well spotted. And yeah, even before COVID, there have been concerns in the real estate industry, especially commercial, so for businesses, that these places weren't being filled up. That was even before COVID. And now people are shutting down offices and people are working from home.
Yeah, they are. I mean, this is a commercial property at the moment. There are so many to let signs because people are just not, they don't need their offices anymore. And look, first of all, a lot of businesses have shut and they're not going to come back. And second of all, those businesses that have changed the way they work, including ours, people can do work from home. So why do you need an office? We've been thinking about whether or not we need our office, frankly. I mean, we've got this lovely studio. We've got all that space. But why are we paying for it? We're going once or twice the rent, frankly. And I think that's how a lot of businesses are feeling. So if you're in commercial property right now, not great.
Mm.
Not great. All right. So lots of things to start talking about this morning. Leanne has a lot of different curious stories, rather, about death.
It's okay.
First of all, did you guys see, I don't know whether this is true or not, apparently, Sia, you told us that the mortician who had done Maradona's funeral took a selfie with him and Maradona in the casket. Well, apparently, again, I don't know if this is true. This is one of those stories that's been circulating on social media, that apparently that guy who took the picture of himself with Maradona in the casket, apparently Boca Juniors, the Ultras, which are the kind of the youth league, I suppose, of Boca Juniors. They got hold of this dude and they murdered him. They killed him because he...
What?
Yeah, because he took...
No, that's taking it too far.
I'm telling you. So I don't know whether it's true or not, but apparently the dude who took a picture of Maradona in the casket with him in the foreground, it's like a selfie, this guy has been found and he's been murdered by the Boca Junior Ultras. So if that's true, that's quite something. And they apparently did the same with two of the people in the mortuary who were also taking pictures with Maradona. Not great.
Yo. Yeah, I mean, he is seen as a deity there.
Yeah, he is a deity. Yeah, it's just, if you watch the videos of people walking in and out of the Casa Rosada in Buenos Aires, you could see how they are just broken because their hero has died. And there have been a lot of funny jokes about Maradona since he died. I mean, the one with those clouds that look like cocaine lines saying, "Ah, oh, Maradona's finally in heaven." There are all kinds of very, very funny memes coming out. So, I mean, you have to have a sense of humor about this stuff. You know, there used to be a time, used to be a time where people said too soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Too soon. But now, I mean, come on.
No.
The internet doesn't know what too soon means.
Yeah. Well, now Maradona's doctor is being investigated.
Yeah?
For involuntary manslaughter.
Uh-oh.
And it reminded me of when Michael Jackson died with the propofol incident, etc.
Yes.
But the doctor is, his surgery has been raided. His name is Leopoldo Luque.
Wow.
His home has been searched for possible evidence pointing to negligence, according to the news stories.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was triggered by concerns raised by three of Maradona's daughters, Dalma, Giannina, and Jana, over the treatment he received for his heart condition at his home just before the incident. So, yeah, he hasn't been able to comment, this Luque doctor.
Oh, I thought Maradona hasn't been able to comment. Yeah.
That too. Yeah, that
I think
too.
I know why.
Absolutely.
The line's a bit fuzzy. He can't seem to reach us. But the doctor posted a photograph of himself with Maradona on the day that Maradona left hospital. And that was after surgery to remove the blood clot from his brain.
Sure.
But, apparently he was supposed to have round-the-clock care and all of this sort of thing. So who knows? We'll see what happens from there. But that's the latest.
Well, there are a lot of questions. Does the mortician get staff discount now that he's dead on mortician services?
Oh, come on.
That's a very good question. I think that's a very good point. Well put. And then
I think they're just doing this.
Sorry.
I think that they're just doing this to do it. But come on. There's like nothing. We could have all seen this coming. So I just think they're doing it for the hype of it all.
Serge just reminded me of something. He said, on the Maradona story and your comments about supporting Argentina because of him, it took me back to when Italy won the World Cup in 2006. Do you remember that crazy party at the Italian club in Bedford View after they won? I think you were the MC. Yeah, I was. I was actually invited by Stefano Vigoriti, who's a good friend of mine, and he said, come and watch the Italy World Cup final in 2006. Man, that was a party. And we went to it was the first time I'd been to the Italian club, and there were just Italian South Africans everywhere. I didn't even know there was such a big community. Like easily a couple of hundred, maybe even a couple of thousand people. And we had the best party ever. And people were speaking Italian and shouting and dressed up, and it was just fantastic. It was such a vibe. So, yes, I do remember that, Serge. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. I wonder if we'll ever be able to do things like that again. Leanne, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
Leanne, you're muted.
That's five rand.
Okay, more money in the jar. That was one of my hotspots before I was even married.
Really?
I used to go to the Italian club.
Hmm.
Well, remember, I lived in the south of Joburg, so...
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, it was a bit of a trip, but we joll in the east a lot.
Go from the south to the east.
Yeah.
Leon, how do you break up your life in your chapters? It's like childhood, your university years, the East.
It's really complicated because I've actually looked at finding software that can pull together a timeline of your life, but where there are parts that overlap as well. I've been looking for something like that, but you have to pay, or it's just not exactly the format I like.
Because just writing down your own life even is a lot for you.
Hugely, yeah. Yeah. What can I say?
Shame. Okay. You've lived 9 lives, man, in 1, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So there's also a story that came up over the weekend, and I thought this was bullshit, but it turns out this is true too. Apparently there are graves that are being uncovered because the water level of the Vaal Dam dropped quite a lot recently. It suddenly, you know, when the water level goes down, you uncover a lot of land and even some buildings which would have been submerged when the dam is full. And they found graves. They found graves from before the Anglo-Boer War period, which have been submerged, which means pretty much everyone in Gauteng has been drinking water that's from graves. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, our water is purified after that, but it is definitely true. There are photos circulating of full-on tombstones where you can still see the writing on them as well.
Yeah.
And you can see who's buried there. But it was Facebook actually flagged the story on Facebook as fake news. And that's how it's made a lot of it's kind of become popular now, because it's not fake news.
Yeah.
And there are photos to prove it. It's actually real. And, you know, we forget that all over the world there are places that in cities and towns that existed before they were covered in water.
I think
it's not uncommon.
Yeah, but this just again shows you that fact checkers and fake news checks on social media are absolute bullshit, and we should not take them seriously. Really, it's ridiculous.
I mean, who are they to say that this is fake news?
Of course.
What do they know?
No, well, you see, this is a bunch of people who decide for you because they don't think that you're smart enough to figure it out for yourself. I mean, you know, there's this... there's this fact check group in South Africa that, because I had David Icke on the TV show, they wanted me to be censored for that. As if people can't. I mean, we got David Icke, who's the world's most well known conspiracy theorist, to talk about conspiracy theories, and those morons at the Broadcasting Complaints Commission decided that this was actually worth them sitting down and talking about. I mean, you really, some people are being paid to do nothing, honestly. It's embarrassing.
So, yeah, if you are near the Vaal, or you see them, or you want to see them, apparently the Geological Society of South Africa keeps records of these grave sites.
Okay.
And their data show that the graves are located on a roughly 3-kilometer-long island in the Vaal Dam.
It must be horrible for the people whose family were buried there when they built the dam, because then...
How do you go and visit?
You have to take your boat out and like
this one,
hang around over the graves, I suppose.
Yeah. Like, for instance, this one you can clearly see belongs to Jacobus Johannes Meyer, who lived between 1861 and 1893. There was another one, Jacobus Frederik Jansen van Vieren.
Oh, yes.
He died 10 years, just 10 years before the dam was built.
Shame. Not a great time to choose your grave, thinking that you'll, you know, don't worry,
covered in water.
My descendants will come and visit and put flowers every day.
Yeah, not true.
I don't think a lot of people get to choose their graves.
No, that's also probably true.
Yeah, that's. But on the note of Facebook, yeah, it's not the fact that I had completely trusted them before, but now after the statement they released over the weekend, it's extra dodgy what they do. So Facebook is relying more and more on AI algorithms, mm-hmm. and this case. came to light over the past couple of days, because one of their AI algorithms truly stuffed some of their business accounts. So particularly small businesses over the past couple of days were messed about by these algorithms, because somehow Facebook blocked all of these advertising for small businesses. And you think about Black Friday and building up to Black Friday, this is not the time to have your advertising curb.
But they probably the algorithm probably saw the word black and panicked. You know, I mean, algorithm doesn't panic, but you know what I mean. It picked up black and thought this was a race thing, right?
These posts were blocked and marked as offensive ads.
There we go.
So all of these small businesses weren't able to capitalize on online sales opportunities leading up to Black Friday. And this was Facebook's answer and statement with it. They apologized for this issue, saying that actually they have been so inundated over the past few weeks as they have deployed their human capital or the human resource of staff to fact-checking the U.S. elections, that they had set up these algorithms way in advance, and that is why there was no human resource that was able to actually look at what was happening.
You want to build AI and algorithm solutions to look for particularly offensive things. Guess what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. It's going to end up canceling Black Friday ads because it's going to think it's a racial thing. Stupid, stupid idiots. Mm.
So they say, we know it can be frustrating to experience any type of business disruption, especially at such a critical time of the year. While we offer free support for all businesses, we regularly work to improve our tools and systems. But, yeah,
when they were
focusing on the U.S. election and COVID misinformation, that's where the people were. I would be pissed if I had spent my money on Facebook
advertising, and this was the response you got, and you missed out on business because Facebook decided they needed to protect people from offensive advertising or offensive messaging. This is the terminus to which all of this political correctness is going to bring you, and you deserve it.
Facebook deserves that, but do we?
No, you don't. Sorry. I apologize to everyone except Facebook for that revolting noise I made.
It was for Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so did anyone fall into Black Friday and major purchases, mm-hmm. even after we discussed it on Friday?
I didn't even go near the shops.
No, I needed a Wi-Fi extender or like a booster. And mm-hmm. So I went online to have a look, and I happened to find one that was half price.
Mm.
But otherwise, I didn't go specifically looking out for these deals or buying them.
Well, good for you. You managed to find one anyway.
Yeah, Black Friday this year was noticeably not as big as it was, or rather as it has been over the past couple of years. I think it's obvious a lot of people are feeling the financial pinch. But according to some online platforms, we actually now know the biggest spender on Black Friday. And it was one South African who spent 299,950 rands. So almost 300,000 rands on Friday.
What did they buy?
We don't know. But they were able to just track. It's an online payment platform who was able to track.
Imagine someone just gave you that money to spend. Said, okay, now I want you to find all the best deals and this is what we want. Go for it. It would be fun.
Yeah, I mean,
there's lots of people who can spend that money.
Sure, and I hope Black Friday was a success. I heard from various news outlets, I saw a couple of articles over the weekend, that it wasn't as big a deal as people expected it to be. So maybe it wasn't the most successful Black Friday of, you know, the last 10 years, but who knows?
Some brands have extended the Black Friday offerings for the whole this week. So that's something to look out for. And then also, obviously, today is Cyber Monday. Not that that makes any difference, because we were probably buying online anyway.
Did you hear Joe Biden has suffered a hairline fracture in his foot after he was playing with his dog over the weekend and apparently slipped. So he isn't even president yet, and he's already, having old man things happen to him. So this is not a good sign.
I don't know. That's happened to me many times before. But I did watch a video on his dog, because there are a few. He's got a few. I think he's got two or three dogs.
Aren't they rescues?
Rescue.
Yeah.
And they show how he, yes. And that's unlike any of the previous White House dogs. So that's something that's completely new. He only rescues his dogs. And he seems to like German Shepherds. The one in particular, his name is Major. And he was already a grown-up dog when he adopted him. And he was trained already to be able to walk properly on a lead and all of that. But, yeah, I find that particularly exciting.
I'm sorry. Even when it comes to a leader, regardless of what their political stance is and what they do, you, in my opinion, should exude some level of confidence for other people to believe in you. And if I were to see the leader of the free world just hobbling about... That's not good.
He's obviously going to be on crutches or in a moon boot at his inauguration. That's not good.
Oh, no.
It's just not good. I'm sorry. And I know that, you know, Leanne, it happens to all of us. And I mean, we've all slipped and, hurt ourselves or fallen, or the dog has got in the way or something. But it's not great when it happens to the person who is about to be inaugurated as president of the United States, and he's the oldest one ever.
Yeah,
doesn't look
it's
good.
Not good timing. It's like when I knocked out my front teeth before my wedding.
Oh, you know,
that sort of timing.
Oh, that actually happened to you?
What?
Yeah, that happened to me.
Leanne, you're joking. I didn't know this.
No, it's the truth.
What the hell? What, you were in a fight?
How did that happen?
No, I was just having a wee in the driveway.
Oh my God.
As one does. What? Was it tipsy? Was it after a night out?
Of course it was. But so what happened? Yeah. You were squatting in your own driveway.
And the family dog, who happened to be a German Shepherd at the time, walked in front of me and threw me off balance. And I fell forward onto the driveway and cracked my two front teeth in half. Well, not cracked them. They broke. They fell off.
Oh, that's terrible. That must have been so sore.
Yeah. Oh, the pain was... I mean, imagine running your tongue over raw, nerve-exposed teeth. Yeah. So having those replaced was very, very painful.
How many weeks before How many weeks before your wedding?
I'd say it was probably about a month.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a terrible sense of timing you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really bad timing. So that's why I have sympathy for Joe Biden, okay? Things like this happen.
So
at the worst times.
The two front teeth that you have now, are they the replacement?
They're my chiclets. Yeah.
Jesus, that must have been so horrible. And all because you were drunk and in the driveway.
I couldn't get into the house on time, and I needed a wee. Yeah,
That is so humiliating.
In those days, we used to drive, yeah.
Did you
really
did
stupid.
You make it part of your wedding speech?
No, I was very embarrassed about it, actually. So I kept very quiet about it.
You really have. You have got the best stories. Jesus.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. If you had to name any subject, anything, I probably would have a story to tell you about it.
I mean, here we are. I've worked with you for eight or 10 years, maybe even longer. And every week you manage to surprise me with a story I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I've actually got like a dent in my chin from the incident as well, and I was quite badly scraped. And I was working at the SABC as a journalist at the time. And I came in with my face, you know, all messed up. And my boss, who was a real douche at the time, he said, "Why have you not been at work? And I want a doctor's note." I was like, "Can you not see my face, you dumbass?"
What an
I was actually so cheeky to him that he grabbed me by the scruff of my neck, by my clothing.
What the hell is going on?
He held me up. Yeah. He held me up against the wall, and he was like, "Don't speak to me like that."
So this guy, just hold on a second, because if a woman comes in to work and she's got facial injuries or whatever, you would think normally that the responsible thing for a boss to do, or even a concerned colleague to do, is to say, "Hey, are you okay? Is everything all right at home?" That's the thing to ask.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, he almost fired me because I asked if we could please get Microsoft Word installed on our computers. He said I had no business. He said all you want to do is surf the internet.
And he
picked him. It's not the internet. It's a software program.
He actually picked you up by your clothes and then threatened
you.
Yes.
Guys, that's what it was like when in those days.
My God.
Before the whole Me Too and protecting women thing. Especially in the world of radio, where it was male dominated.
That is outrageous.
Oh, I can go on and on with lists. Yeah. No, it was really tough in those days.
Oh,
I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. Things were very different then.
I'm horrified. I really am. I mean, we started off, having some fun with you here, but that's actually just, it's reminded me of why we need to keep the pressure up. There are people who think they can get away with this shit. Even now there are probably people doing this. A lot harder to keep it.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah. But I think people are definitely more aware. But yeah, that's what used to happen. I mean, I don't want to. I also have to be careful of what I say and who I name. But I had a boss who I could name, and a lot of you would know him, and a lot of people listening would know him. And he used to greet me by slapping me on my bum.
Yeah, okay.
That was just the done thing.
Madness. No, that's
crazy,
terrible. Annette says she had a pig of a boss once in 1989, and Sergio says, what a terrible person. Peter says, Leanne, you're getting into the realms of Mbulelo stories now. And Sivan says, this is a very good point by Sivan. He says, Gareth, your colleagues this morning, one of them lost her teeth peeing in someone's driveway, and the other one is prone to shitting themselves. What a terrible collection of people you have on the show.
Wow. Okay.
We are real people.
Yes. So Nikita says this, which I think is really interesting. Megyn Kelly, you know, the journalist, she used to be with Fox News, and then she was at NBC, and she's now got her own podcast, and she's really amazing. She's the one that they based that story. The Charlize Theron played her in the movie about Fox News and all the
bombshell,
all that Fox News abuse, in the 2000s, and Megyn Kelly apparently said, in response to the notion that Biden will bring peace and unity, she said, "What do kids do when grandfather sleeps? They go wild. They don't calm down." That's, I think, an interesting point. Thanks for that, Nikita. And Ruth says, the universal message of Leanne Moll's story about the teeth is exactly the kind of thing that would put me off of drinking for life.
Oof. Oof.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
But also, it's just that when things happen to me, they happen hard.
Thanks for that image of running your teeth over.
Oh, my God.
Your tongue over your teeth.
No, that's it. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I'm very happy to welcome to the show Ruth Mtembu, who is the campaign manager for Wild Oceans. How are you doing, Ruth? You look very glamorous this morning, by the way. You look way, way more glamorous than any of us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. So this is especially for animal lovers and for anybody who feels like they have a heart this morning. Obviously, as we go out over the festive season, we're going to be polluting the oceans because that's what humans do wherever they go. They throw things away. Things wash down the rivers. The oceans get more and more filthy. There's a campaign called We don't need our oceans, which has been highlighting exactly why we do need our oceans and the importance of taking care of them, the animals in them. And even the singer Matthew Mull and his wife have signed up for it. And this morning we have the Wild Oceans campaign manager, Ruth Mtembu, who's on. She's going to join us to tell us exactly why we should be taking all of this seriously. So, Ruth, first of all, tell us about you and how you got involved, and then tell us about the campaign.
Sure. So I had studied law in university, and in my final year, I decided I didn't want to practice as an attorney, and I joined a nonprofit working with orphaned and vulnerable children. And a few years down the line, I came across Wild Oceans and decided it was time to move into protecting the environment. And a lot of people have said, how would you connect the two, going from working with people to working for the environment? And I've always found it to be interlinked. You can't have healthy, thriving people without a good environment. And so I was drawn to it and have absolutely loved it ever since.
That sounds great. So tell us about the campaign itself and why the oceans are the thing that we should be focused on.
Sure. So over the years, and I'm sure that you have seen with quite a few other campaigns around the world, there's always this drive for educational awareness, telling people why they should look after the ocean, don't litter, protect the ocean, protect the environment. And we found that we were saying the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we wanted with this campaign to shock people into seeing what life would be like without our oceans, to show them what would happen if our oceans were to disappear or if we would destroy them to such a point of no return. But in doing that, we wanted to also highlight why we do need it. So, for example, every second breath comes from the ocean. And a lot of people don't know that the ocean actually helps mitigate climate change. So these are all packages that we wanted to educate people about. But when they see the term, we don't need our oceans, people would think, oh, but we actually do. And that's how we hook them. And then we show them why we do need our oceans.
So how serious is the problem at the moment? And especially with respect to South Africa, because I know that we have, I mean, I've always spoken about the river, which, you know, I've got near my house, and it's always disgusting and filled with, it's basically an open sewer. And I know that empties into another river, which empties into another river, and eventually that river leads to the sea. So all of that stuff must eventually end up in the sea. We know about that plastic island, which they've got in the Pacific, with all that stuff that's just been gathering over years. And we also know about, you know, turtles and fish that have got plastic trapped in their gills and in their around their heads and their necks. So some horrible, horrible stories. But how bad is it in South Africa?
Well, to put it into perspective, prior to October 2018, we only had 0.4% of the waters around South Africa protected. So for anyone listening in, you can imagine if you're sitting in a room, only a corner of your room would be protected, and the rest of the room is vulnerable to whatever threats and danger. And that's exactly the type of danger that our oceans were in. But after October 2018, the Department of Environmental Affairs declared 5% ocean protection. And I know it doesn't seem like it's much, but it's going in the right direction. And this protection is in what we call marine protected areas, MPAs, and they're basically like, you can think of a park on land. So it's a protected area that looks after all ocean life within that area. So if it's fish, it helps the fish stock thrive. So it means that there's limited to no activity in that area so that we could replenish fish stocks. We can look after the habitat in the ocean.
Hang on a second. So 5%. I mean, 5% is, as you say, it's not enough, but it's a start. Where are the oceans protected? Where are these 5% places?
So a lot of them are offshore. Some are just along the coastal communities. And the purpose of having these marine protected areas is to limit certain activities. So, for example, offshore mining has a real impact on ocean life. It actually destroys ocean life. And so marine protected areas, by not having offshore drilling in those areas, you're actually trying to help the ocean life that exists over there. Of course, we've still got a whole lot more to do, because the global goal is to protect at least 30% of the ocean around the world by 2030. So we're trying to edge closer to that goal.
Well, that sounds really, really sensible, and at least someone is doing something. Now, where can ordinary people get involved? Because most of us don't have an influence on government policy. Most of us don't have, billions of rands to donate. Are there ways that we can get involved in small ways? Are there small donations, things we can do with our time, organizations we can join?
Sure. So with the We Don't Need Our Oceans campaign, if people want to read more about that campaign or to see how you can help, you can just go onto our website, which is www.oceanimpact.co.za. And then we've got a Take Action page over there. And there is a whole lot of things that you can do. And as you said, Gareth, sometimes we don't have influence in feeding into policy or lots of money, but there are just simple things that you and I can do, and I'll highlight maybe two or three. So, for example, if you're a seafood lover, next time you go to a restaurant, just download the SASS app. That's SASS.
Oh, I love the SASS app.
Yes. And it can show you which fish are actually overexploited and which fish you should avoid ordering on the menu. And that's just your simple way. That's your simple way to help. Or if you enjoy jogging, pick up some rubbish along the way, lose kgs while you help the environment. Also take a reusable cup when you go get coffee instead of single use plastic all the time.
Can we all just stop being such monsters and just leaving our trash everywhere? Can we just learn to throw stuff away? I mean, this is the first step. Throw stuff away, recycle if you can, and let's all just stop leaving shit lying around. It's so unnecessary. I mean, I went to the beach in KZN probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and there's a lot of stuff that's been washed up on shore, and it's just deeply disappointing, because it is a statement of what humanity is all about. And we all think that we're such evolved, fantastic creatures, but we can't even pick up our own mess. It's disgusting.
That's very true. Actually, I wanted to highlight one more thing that people at home can do, and you can actually win tickets to see Matthew Mole for doing this. So if you don't mind me just quickly highlighting
that. Go for it. Absolutely.
Could join in. So all you have to do is you could win one of two sets of five tickets to Mole's next concert. So all you need to do is pick up at least one bag of rubbish in your neighborhood, in your local park or beach, and then post that evidence on social media with the hashtag OceanChallengeAccepted. That's the hashtag. Great. And then just tag OceanImpactSA on that post, and then We will see if you get to win. It's as simple as that.
That's great. Well, I'm going to go and clean up and just do that for myself anyway, even if I don't get the tickets for the Matthew Mole concert, just because I don't like a mess. Oh, I hate a mess.
Exactly.
A mess is a disgusting. what is wrong with human beings? We could pick up one bag of rubbish, post the evidence on social media. The challenge is Ocean Challenge Accepted in the hashtag, and tag Ocean Impact SA in your post, and you could win those tickets. That's great. Well done to you. You're a great spokesperson for this cause. Do you ever get people who say to you, why are you supporting something like this when there are starving children, or, people can't pay their university fees? You know, everybody seems to think that because they care about a cause, everyone else has to care about that cause as much as them. And then they start comparing this versus that. And it's not fair. But what do you say to people like that?
Well, I think that the ocean is the world's biggest unifier, because it doesn't matter if you live in a landlocked country or area, you still need the ocean. We wear, the gadgets we use, it's either transported through the ocean, you eat from the ocean.
Yeah.
So it is, every second breath we take is from the ocean. So if we don't look after it, there will be nothing left for generations to come. So it is literally the foundation that we need to kind of sort out in order to sort out the other issues. So that's what I at least try to say to people.
You're the best spokesperson for this. I think out of all the people we've spoken to about, really, and we've done some excellent stuff in terms of finding out about great causes across the country and the world. But you're doing a terrific job here. Oceanimpact.co.za is where you can find out more. Thank you, Ruth. What a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Awesome. That's Ruth Mtembu from the Wild Oceans Campaign. And, wow, she's terrific, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool.
But such a good cause, because honestly, like, I just don't understand. I drive down just any suburban street, and you'll see people, and I mean, we've spoken about this ad infinitum as well, but you'll see people driving, and they'll throw, like, a fast food packet out of the window or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always think to myself, what kind of person expects the rest of the world to treat them with respect when they don't even treat their environment with respect? Like, if you live in your own filth, you don't deserve my respect, and I don't need to treat you like a human being. If you litter,
I remember driving behind a bus once,
ugh,
and someone threw out a dirty nappy that actually hit my windscreen.
Oh.
on the highway. Going,
yeah.
Did it splat?
Oh.
No, it didn't splat. It bounced off. But I think if it was courteous enough, it might have smashed right through the windscreen.
Did it splat?
That was just before the wood meat off ramp.
Hang on, Leanne. Did it splat inside of the nappy, which was used front, or did it bounce off on the back of the nappy?
No, it was rolled in a ball, thank goodness.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
The tape was holding it together.
I want to know, but I also don't want to know. Was it a number one diaper? Was it like a number two diaper?
Hmm. Well, I'm reckoning if it was thrown out of the bus, it must have been a number two, because they didn't want it in the bus.
Disgusting. It's disgusting what kind of people do this. What kind of people just throw something out of a bus?
But to tie it a little to what we were saying before Ruth came on, you know, with how some bosses were treating their employees, et cetera, this is all part of changing behavior that has gone on for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, people have just been using plastics or throwing it out or not caring for so many years. We now have to rechange that. And unfortunately, it's just going to take many more years and many more steps and stages of education and enlightening and awareness for people to change their behavior.
But it's very satisfying seeing, and I see that some people who are listening are sharing stories about their horrible bosses from decades ago. And it's very satisfying to see how things have changed in 20 years or since the mid-90s, because that's when these things were happening. And to actually see the look of shock and horror on your faces hearing something like this, that in itself is just a huge step.
Well,
you know, if you told a male colleague about this stuff before, when it was happening, it would have been still being seen as normal.
Well, listen to what Janet says. I'm going to read this because she's put it up on the messages. She said, I worked for a real asshole once. I had to literally walk around a huge parking lot picking up cigarette stubs, as he didn't like smoking. There were many incidents. The day I handed in my resignation, he threw me out of his office and slammed the door. He then got up and walked over to where my desk was and picked up a huge vase and threw it at me. I ducked and it smashed against the wall. I still have scars on my shoulder where the doctor removed the glass. I literally fled that day. Karma did get him and he had to flee the country. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Wow, what a monster. Annika says, a family member of mine worked at a school and the headmaster used to harass her. He would tell her that he would do class visits, and when she asked him not to, he would say, kiss me and I won't do it. She got married to someone she didn't love just to escape that situation. She felt she couldn't approach her parents because they would brush it off. She's married for 14 years to an alcoholic before getting a divorce. She couldn't be happier now. She's at a great school and she has been there for 20 years. Keep in mind this happened in the mid-90s and the female teachers couldn't do very much. She lived next to the school and had to hide her boyfriend's bike whenever he slept over, as she could have lost her job just for that. Wow. My God.
Yeah.
There's your
scary stuff.
Honestly.
It's amazing how many people just live in fear every day and do what they have to do to keep their job. And, you know, if you're not in that situation, I suppose you're very lucky, because for many people, that's the way it is.
Yeah. And these things don't just go away after they've happened. It sticks with you forever. I mean, the fact that these stories come up so easily for all of us, that's still sitting inside us, you know? It's changed us. Just to jump in there, Gareth, you know, Janet says she's now found ways to earn money from home because the thought of working for a boss gives her anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
These things sit with us forever.
Well, Carl wants to know, Leanne, was any of the abuse perpetrated by Gareth? We need to know.
That would be hilarious. No,
not for me.
Not.
It would be horrifying. But, if I were accused of that kind of abuse, that would be horrifying.
Oh, there's a but?
No, it was...
Careful what you say now.
For instance, his predecessor was an issue for me. So, you know, Gareth, you came onto the 5FM scene.
He came onto you?
No, onto the 5FM scene when these things were still happening.
Yeah.
And that was something I was very impressed by you, is that you were always very respectful. So, yeah.
Well, I was respectful, but we did make 100,000 songs up about your breasts, so I don't know.
No, that's true, but, you know, I was on board for that.
Yeah, I did ask your permission. I said, wow, you know, Leanne, I haven't worked with you long, but you have enormous cans. Can we make songs about them? And you said, sure you can. That's what they're here for.
At least it wasn't grunting at you like Bill O'Reilly.
Ugh.
Oh, my God, that is just horrible.
He's a freak.
Oh, my God. He has an online show now that he does, and I saw one or two clips came up during the elections. I thought, I wonder what this dude is doing. I wonder what's going on here. And he still thinks he's on Fox News, obviously. But I don't know whether the show's got many viewers. I don't know whether it's successful or not. It might be. It might be huge. But Bill O'Reilly's still out there. He's still got a media career. It's quite something.
Well, for people like that, it's more an ego thing than it is about accepting the reality. Like, he was 67 when these allegations came out a few years ago. 67, one would have thought, you get this payout from Fox News, go home and chill. But it's more about something in the ego being fulfilled, about carrying on and still doing something else. I don't get it. Yeah, he's... Kids side with the mother, the wife, well, they were divorced even prior to that. But I don't know who he's with or what he's doing now. I haven't even watched the new show.
I don't know much about Bill O'Reilly now. But to get on the phone, you know, again, this is a guy who had money. He had all kinds of things that most people don't have. And yet he was harassing his own staff sexually. You know, there's so many ways you can get your rocks off. This guy could have hired some woman to come and sit in the room. He could have, you know, there's prostitutes. He could have had that kind of action. He could have called up those chat lines that, Leanne, you used to do the voiceovers for them, you know, where there'd be some, like, I don't know, some lady sitting on the other side of the phone, and she'd go, oh, yeah, tell me what you're wearing or whatever. Those things used to be a thing. But Bill O'Reilly had to do it to people who worked for him. Just unreal.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's definitely a power thing.
Yeah, no, it's just gross. It's gross.
Siesmann.
No.
It's achtlich, what?
Achtlich.
Achtlich.
It's a good word. Achtlich.
What does it mean? It
means disgusting, horrible, ugly.
Unthinkably disgusting.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's a very good word. Okay. All right. Well, there's one other thing that we wanted to throw in this morning, because I think this is very important. You know that there's an Austrian village called Fucking, right? No, they've put the sign up on – there's a book I've got with, like, places with horrible place names. And there's an Austrian village that's called Fucking, F-U-C-K-I-N-G. And they have...
which is weird because it's an English word, but
yeah. Yeah. So they've been trying to rename it because now it's become too terrible and the tourists are coming there and taking pictures at the sign, and it's really upsetting the people of this village because they just want to get on with their lives. So they're going to change the name of Fucking to something else. Do you know what they're going to change it to?
21 Mulberry Lane, Fucking 2902.
It really is. Yes. It is a tiny, tiny town. It's right close to the German border, mm-hmm. and there are 100 residents in Fucking. And they just say they're trying to live their lives in this tiny little town. But it's become, they've received so much unwanted attention because, and they blame English speakers. Yes. English speaking tourists.
No, how can English. They when they called it Fucking to start with?
Well, I mean, they've had the name since 1825. They have not had any issue. The name of Fucking. It's been
you fell for that.
They've had the fucking name since 1825.
Oh, that's so great.
And they were happy with it. But now they hate the fact that English-speaking tourists come to the town and they start just taking photos of, you know, any sign that has Fucking on it. So now they can confirm as of next year, 2021, they're officially renaming the town to Fucking. F-U-G-G-I-N-G.
Oh, very good. That's the new
name.
No,
that doesn't help.
Sorry, that's just the mayor of the town playing the trumpet when they renamed it to Fucking?
Yes.
Fucking, yes. The mayor, Andrea Holzner, she said, I can confirm the village is being renamed. And then she says, you know, they're really hurtful. She says, I really don't want to say anything more. We've had enough media frenzy about this in the past. She's just done. You know, she says, you know, she sees some tourists even capturing themselves striking lewd poses in front of sight, so she doesn't
know. Yeah, I can imagine a lot of twerking and pelvic thrusting going on.
Lewd
what
poses.
She's also really, really ticked off about is the fact that their dear signage around town is always being stolen, so people will steal signs.
Oh,
yes.
My word.
Fucking.
Yes. I would like a sign, wouldn't you, saying Fucking? Come on, you put that.
Oh my goodness!
Put that up at your house.
So the first official map of the town dates back to 1825. Some experts believe the name dates back to the 11th century, but all we know is the 100 residents of Fucking in Austria are just tired. So as of next year, it will be known as Fucking.
Great.
Do you think the people who live there are called fuckers? like, you know, Melville, we've got Melvillites. Maybe they,
fuckers.
Who knows? Apparently it's pronounced Fucking.
Fucking?
Because it's Austrian, but that doesn't make it any less funny.
So when my aunt was in Austria, they've got a sign up over the Autobahn that says, blah, 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 und eine gute Fahrt. F-A-H-R-T, which means have a good trip, you know. But fart. So I mean, this is a photograph that I think is the best thing ever. Gute Fahrt. So whenever I go away now, it's going to be a gute Fahrt.
In the greater scheme of things, I think we actually handled the story with maturity.
I think we were very mature, and I think this is the sensible way to do things from now on. But well done for the town of Fucking. Mm. Very important. Okay. Thank you, Mayor. And that is all we've got time for today, I'm afraid. We will see you tomorrow, though, bright and early. First thing in the morning, 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, the 1st of December. Yes, December. And then we're in the final month of this really strange year, 2020. Good Lord. What a year it's been. Okay. Have a good week. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early. Be good.
CliffCentral.com